from our Lord who loved us and gave himself on the cross for us. To Jesus be the glory forever. Amen. This morning, once again, the old question presents itself: what motivates a fourth-year seminarian to preach in chapel? There have been many theories presented on this topic, from the conservative to the extreme. For example, is it some kind of an ego booster? Or is the guy simply some kind of masochist, especially for preaching on the Friday before final assembly? But perhaps it's the opportunity to share with all of his first and second year seminarians the work of his own observations from this very chapel. For example, have you ever noticed how the person who is preaching if he wears glasses is easy to see when he looks at his manuscript? You think the light reflects off of the lenses? You notice I don't have the light on. Especially in your fourth year, you begin to notice an increased loss of hair among some of your fellow classmates and some of your professors as they look down to read the scriptures. Some of us have that problem. Well, I'm sure that this question will continue to be asked among seminarians throughout the ages to come, and I'm sorry to tell you that I will not be able to provide you with a standard answer this morning. All I can do is share with you what motivates me. And not only in my teaching, but in all the things that I do for my Lord. And St. Paul hits it on the head in the 14th verse of our epistle reading this morning, when he writes that all that you do, you got to love. Love is what motivates me to get into a pulpit and teach about Jesus Christ. And it's not just any kind of love, as Professor Friedman would say, that smutty kind of stuff we see all over TV. Rather, it's a love that Jesus himself gave to me. A love that he gave to me when he made me one of his children. It's this love that the Apostle Paul is telling those people at Corinth to have in everything that they do. It's this love. And it's not just in our teaching or in a part of our lives, or only for a little while, but it's to permeate our whole lives. It's to be done continually. And it's to manifest itself in all of our words and in all of our deeds. But how do we do this? How do we take these words off the page and apply this love in our lives? I believe that St. Paul himself provides us with an excellent example of doing all things in love as he deals with the Christians at Corinth. As he deals with all of their problems. His application of love throughout the scriptures is one of which we should well take note, particularly as men preparing for the ministry of our Lord. I'd like to focus this morning on this example of Paul as we struggle in applying that expectation in our lives, that all that you do is better love. It's love. Agape, as it is found in our text, carries that connotation of being continual, being active, unconditional. Isn't that speaking or boasting? But as Paul writes in the 13th chapter of this book, patience, kind, unfailing. That's the kind of love we see Paul using when he deals with the church of Corinth, those Christians there. And if there was a commandment to be gentle, they were tired of being gentle. There are kinds of moral problems like sexual immorality and incest. They were disrupting the worship life of the church by misusing their spiritual gifts, abusing the Lord's Supper. False things had entered into their church, and false teaching was prevalent, especially seen in the misunderstanding they had about the resurrection of the dead. So how does Paul lovingly turn to these patterns? Does he come in and say, Jesus loves you, so stop it? No, he doesn't. He holds up the sin in front of them and points to all the condemnation that lies therein. He lays down the law, if you will, calling them to repentance and atoning from their corruption. You might say, this is love? Yes, it is. But it's not yet complete until you see how it also applies to gospel. But you see, it's the entire application of law and gospel that Paul exhibits this unfailing and unconditional love. When he writes those words, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He follows this, that you are justified in the name the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When you ask if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. He tells us that Christ is risen, and we have our victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is in this manner of life that Paul shows his care and concern for those people whom he addressed his faith. He applied the law and out of atonement from their sin, and he follows up with the gospel to assure them that the victory has been won through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. By this example, Paul exhibits what he means by doing all things in love. Is this kind of love which Paul exhorts the Corinthians to do, and is the same kind of love which needs to guide us in our application of the Word of God? And I don't believe anyone here would disagree with that statement. After all, we're Lutheran. A proper division of law and gospel is essential while maintaining a scripturally sound church body. And not only in our teaching, but also in all of our actions, in all of our work. But does this kind of love always permeate our actions? Is our love always so complete and unfailing in its application? And certainly we're sure to point out this never-ending, never-failing love of Jesus Christ in our sermons by a proper division of law and gospel. But how does Christ's love come through in our other work, as it regards the functioning of our congregation? How do you handle the problems when they hit your own church? What is our reaction to low attendance in Bible class and in church? What is our reaction when only 5 out of 1,000 members come to make evangelism visits? I would dare say that our love reaction is not normally one which contains a lot of gospel. It is only too easy to point to a congregation and say, if only they would do this. Which one of us in our vicarage or third of our congregation when our parishes is not pointed to a weakness and said, if only? Find ourselves completing only the first half of this last chapter instead of taking it all the way through in the completion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so easy to exhibit only the last side of this last chapter and forget the rest. But at the same time, we need to sit back and look at ourselves and see what motivates us. Christ's love completed in the gospel. We need to remember our baptisms, and we need to hear those words, the sweetness of those words that they ring in our ears. Your sins have been forgiven. For God still loved the world. By grace you've been saved as a gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It is this message of forgiveness and reconciliation which makes Christ's love complete in our lives. And through this, we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to deal with love with those things that are entrusted to us. So how do we then accomplish the task of letting all that you do be done in life? By speaking and doing the truth and love in its totality. We hold up sin in all of its ugliness and all of its condemnation. We show how under the law there is no hope for the sinner. But then we take that same sinner, Jesus. The one who died as a ransom for many. The one who was sacrificed for the sin of the whole world. In his resurrection, we show how he has gained for us the victory over death and granted us the gift of eternal life by his grace. And faith in him is our Lord and Savior. In the congregations and churches far short of all those ideal expectations, we continue to love them with the same love that Jesus gave to us. We don't stand around just pointing and saying, you're holy. Rather, we continue to care for them the way St. Paul cared for the people of Corinth. And always praying them to Jesus. This is active and never failing love. It is a love which will motivate the greatest of sinners and the weakest of Christians. Empowered by the Holy Spirit and Word and Sacrament, they will come to Jesus receiving his creating and sustaining faith. This love expresses itself in repentance and obedience to God because he first loved us. Do all things in love. This is the exhortation. This is the motivation. Find its application, law, and gospel in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, continue in this love. And all that you do. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.